Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beach and Company. Stop flipping around the dial. Beach and Company. And let's hit the beach for a while. Beach and Company. The all-around talk of the town. Beach and Company. He'll pick you right up when you're down. Beach and Company. Sandy's on the air making Buffalo proud. He's bigger than life and twice as loud. News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach. Beach and Company.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, and today it's an all-school day. Yes, an educational Beach and Company. Two questions. Should the kids have access to a cell phone in school? And the second question, are you kidding? Wait a minute. You must be joking. Yes, yes, and it involves education.
News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach. Beach and Company.
Yes, 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 another show about cell phones. Now, cell phones, you know, you can do a lot of things on them. They can be your computer. They can be a watch. It can be anything you want. It could be a floor wax. And now they're having another discussion of whether you should be allowed as a kid to have a cell phone in school. Tony, do you ever remember this much conversation ever about an implement like the telephone? Telephone was there for a century or so and maybe even more. And the only time we ever talked about it is if we couldn't find a pay station or if it didn't work properly. Now there's all kinds of social issues about telephones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the advancement of technology and what that brings, being online, the computers, and essentially cell phone is a computer nowadays. So, it's no surprise that we have a lot to talk about.
I think the biggest thing that I have learned since cell phones have come into vogue is the fact that people need a stage. Because with cell phones, suddenly you have instant access to everybody. You can go online, you can do things that you couldn't do before. People like to perform. I mean, what do you think podcasts are for? Same kind of thing. People need that ability to get up on a stage and either entertain you or inform you or something like that. I never knew it was there before. You see, it is there, and this gives them an opportunity to do it.
Along with the fact that, you know, in today's world, we need
in
information.
In today's world,
yes. Yeah, I'll do the voice. We need information. We are bombarded with more information now than we ever have.
A lot of
in
it
our
useless.
Lives. It's constant information, whether you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, Instagram, you're searching ESPN, you know, for sports and things like that, the radio station websites. We are exposed to so much information, and it's like we have a thirst for more and more. To coincide with, we don't want to be bored. We don't want to sit and do nothing
We must
anymore.
Be entertained.
Yes.
We must be at every moment. But what it does is it has brought people out of the reality of the moment and the space around them to some other place so that the people standing right next to them are unimportant. What is important is whoever's name shows up on your screen. That's the most important thing. When you get that message that there's somebody there or there's a message there, you got to drop everything. I don't care if you're performing brain surgery. Well, wait a minute. Hold on just a second. I've got a text there, or I've got a Facebook, or I've got this or that. It seems like we're not happy with what's around us. Maybe we're curious. Maybe I don't know any other way to describe it. For things that are away from us. That's more important to us than actually dealing with what's in front of us.
It also allows the younger generation to live an alternate life, that's not in reality. Everything is online. All interaction with other people are online. It gives them a chance to dictate what other people are going to think about them, their people's opinion of them, so they're able to kind of like manufacture who they are.
And it's been there's certainly a lot of good stuff that has been brought up, but a lot of bad stuff too. The bad stuff is bullying. Instead of bullying one person at a time, you're bullying maybe 1,000 people at the same time. That sort of thing.
That's Twitter.
The anonymity of you think that you're not, you can say what you will, but you're not going to be held accountable because they won't know who you are is wrong. But that goes on all the time. And the kind of things that would be very personal now are all on online everywhere. And with the phone, if four people are walking together down the street, they're all heads down and they're on their phones. They're not talking to each other.
They have earbuds in, listening to whatever.
Same thing with lunch with mom and dad and the kids. Everybody, including mom and dad, have cell phones looking down at that, not discussing anything with each other, discussing things with their contemporaries. And that's not right either. So I think you certainly has been a huge advance forward with a cell phone, but it's brought a lot of baggage with it. And I think people recognize this after a while. Let's see. Mr. Beamer, you're a cell phone guy.
Yes.
We're all cell phone people. Do you know anybody that doesn't have one? I don't. What do you think, good and bad on cell phones? I mean, they've done a lot of good, no question
about
that.
Yeah, I think the positive, which is also a negative, my positive is I think we stay in contact with each other better because of texting. But the negative off of that is no one wants to talk verbally to anyone anymore.
That's true.
You know, I mean, how many times, and maybe it's more my age, you call someone, they don't answer.
They never answer.
10 seconds later, they text you. Hey, I saw you called me. What's up?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I wanted to have a, because there's only so much you can text, right? Like when I talk, I like to put, you know, an emphasis on certain things that maybe a text wouldn't get the sarcasm of my comment. So there's the positive. We do stay in touch more than we did before texting. But the negative off of that, we don't have verbal conversations. A lot of people my age can't even have a eye contact, face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, look down.
They're always looking all over the place.
Yeah, they don't know how to focus. Oh, I'll tell you this one thing before the break. Tony, how long have we been in this building?
What was it, 01 or?
I'm not
there?
Sure. You think it was 01?
I think so.
And this is 19, so that would make 18 years. Do you know that in 18 years, I have not had one single phone call at my desk? not one. I've managed to get 18 years without a phone call. You remember why? When they plugged in the phones here, we needed another code word or another
passwords
and codes. I said, screw this. I'm not using the phone, and I haven't used it in 18 years.
Well,
and am I still here? Yeah. Okay.
I thought you were going to say that's because Alan Harris, his desk, when he calls in here, comes up your name.
Does it? Okay. Yeah, I've not talked to one person, except on the air, of course. Not one person, one phone call in 18 years. How good is that? Now, I come in this morning, and the light on the phone on my desk that I haven't answered in 18 years is blinking. Blink, blink, blink. Okay. So I pick it up, and I push a number. That's not the right number. I don't have the code for it. I don't know whose desk that's supposed to be on, but mine, it's useless. You might as well use it as a paperweight. I just got sick of it. And I got the same thing. Remember when I unplugged all the computers and brought them down to engineering?
Yes.
I went down and got a cart from them. I said, do you have a cart? Yes. I'm going to bring some things into you. I unplugged all my computers and stuff and gave them back because I just got tired of passwords. Got tired of codes.
Yeah, I'm sick of that stuff.
Oh, come on. Stuff that nobody in the world would waste their time hacking. Who the hell wants to hack some of the stuff they make us use code words for? It's not even worth hacking. So I just gave it up. And guess what? Life goes on. Life goes on. No computer here. I mean, I have a computer at home and an iPad. But the bottom line is nothing here except what I do here. So that's good. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, you're on vacation starting on Sunday.
Yes.
And I don't have Sunday in front of me, but you're hoping it gets higher than 73 so that the lakeside vacation you're taking will have beautiful women in string bikinis.
Absolutely.
That's necessary. The temperature has to be higher, but there are advantages there are advantages when it's not. So you have to recognize.
Exactly.
You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. That's all I'm saying. Now let's see. We got two subjects today, both educationally motivated here. One is, should the kids have access to cell phones in school? There was a story about a high school that said, no, you can't have them for the whole day. You put them in a lockbox type thing and in the morning, and then you pick them up in the afternoon. Well, if they're going to allow them, I think that's the way to do it. Certainly, with some of the terroristic scares we have had that have cost human lives, we would like to think that everybody should have a cell phone for personal protection. But the bottom line is, in school, there is enough communication, I think, available without the distractions. And we're not talking about, obviously, in the event of a catastrophic event like a shooting, it's different. But we don't rely our lives on that, and we don't pin our hopes and dreams on the fact that there won't be any. We just kind of go along and do the best we can, right? And in a normal classroom setting, it's just like a normal concert and a normal restaurant, lunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever. People are just so distracted by their phones. And when they don't shut the ringers off, they ring, and sometimes they think they shut them off, and they didn't. And they're constantly distracted. There's no interpersonal communication. I think it's a good idea for school for them to be able to concentrate on their studies while they're in school. I don't think that's asking for too much. So I don't think a cell phone should be allowed in school at all. Give me your opinion there, Tony. What do you think?
I don't think it should be allowed in the classroom, but it is something that we plan on using. We bought Nick a cell phone this past summer, and for the sole purpose, because he's going into middle school, his hours are different. He's now going to be home before I get home. So we want him to have the ability to be able to contact us. And that is the only purpose.
So you don't support having it in the classroom?
No.
No, neither do I. Yeah, obviously, have it in your locker. Have it somewhere not in the classroom. Do not have it available to you in the classroom. That is the key.
I think it's real simple. Teacher puts a box on the desk. You walk into the classroom, put your phone down.
Right on the desk, right where you can see it. Nobody's
grab
using
it when the bell rings as you're walking out.
I think that's a good way. Now, Beamer.
Yes.
Beamer, what about you?
Well, as you know, I just missed cell phones in high school.
We know.
Because they were just flip phones.
He's giving us his chronological story.
Rubbing it in.
Rubbing it in.
They were just flip phones. There were no, games on the phones back when I was in high school. So I missed that being a big thing in high school. But I remember the TI-83 calculators everyone would play games on when I was in high school. We thought that was real cool. Hey, I'm all for bringing your phone to school, turning it off, and putting it in your locker.
Yeah,
because no one wants a phone going off. You're walking in the hallway and hearing, someone's phone in their locker going off.
Yeah.
That can be quite distracting.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should say, hey, once you walk in the door, no phone. If you have a free period, if you have a study hall during your lunch, I think you should be able to have your phone on you. But, when you're in class there to learn, the phone should be in the locker, and the only thing going into the room with you are your books.
I agree. So the three of us all agree, even though we have different outlooks, one with kids, the two of us without kids. Well, I have a daughter, but she's not in school. She's a grown woman. So the bottom line is that's how we feel. We want to know how you feel. Should kids have access to cell phones in school, in class, I should say. In fact, I'm going to put right here, C-L-A-S-S, class, in class. And we're against that. Now, part two of today's show is a little bit of a mystery. It's called, Are You Kidding? Are You Kidding? You know, we live in New York State, so we're used to bizarre, backwards type of thinking. Sometimes we go, I can't believe they're going to propose this, or can't believe that law passed, or why did they do that in the middle of the night and they didn't get a chance to even have a public hearing on it? We get all kinds of things like that. Okay, New York State wants to ensure, according to this article by Jay Ray, the latest writer and disco, New York State wants to ensure all students get the education the state law requires they get. Okay, that's fine. That proposal is not going over well with some private schools, which would be subject to more insight by public schools. Believe this or not, here we go. They're pushing back against a proposal from the state to give public school districts greater oversight over what those private institutions teach. So what you're talking about here, I'll give you the example, where Buffalo Public Schools might have oversight into the curriculum of private schools. Are you kidding me? It should be the other way around. Now, especially if you're looking at urban districts like Buffalo, it should be the other way around. They should have oversight into the private schools. But this is the way New York State operates. Local school boards would have powers to make that determination. The State Education Department will present the proposed regulation to its governing body, the Board of Regents, this fall for their consideration. Private schools, meanwhile, see it as a direct threat to their independence, you think? This is just a place where State Education Department needs to, this is not a place where State Education Department should be nosing around. The department needs to be nosing around. Said Jeremy Besch, he's the head of school at the Park School, the century-old private school on Harlem Road in Amherst. The majority of independent schools have a long history of doing a good job with this work, and that's exactly right. And he's right. To think that the public schools would have more oversight into the curricula of the private schools is preposterous. It is absolutely preposterous. And I don't know, you know, I'm no expert on education administration or anything like that. But I'm pretty good at logic. Logic says if one does well, and the other doesn't do that well, the one that does well should be the teacher, not the student. And this is ridiculous. What do you think of that, Tony?
I think it's crazy. Even though when you're looking at it, they're teaching to two different types of students. You have with the public schools, they have to deal with, poor kids
right.
coming from, disadvantaged families and whatnot. And usually when you're in a private school, you're a little bit more well off, at least the kids are. So it's two different types of students. I would look at it, and I agree with you that the one that's having more success should be the teacher, even though they both have different students.
Yeah, I'm thinking the private school, as long as they meet the standards of the state, should not be subject to oversight by the public schools. Now, the example I'm using, of course, is the Buffalo schools. Do you want the graduation rate of private schools, parts of the people sitting in that classroom to be under 50%? You want that? Is that something you would yearn for? Why would you even be interested in that? You wouldn't be. And why would the public schools be interested in it? Well, that's different. That's different because you're talking about the public schools are not big fans of the private schools. They always claim that, they're taking student money away from us and we don't have what we need. Keep in mind, I have to remind you every once in a while, the Buffalo Public School System receives $1 billion a year funding. That is more than the city and it's more than the county. It's $1 billion a year. That's what they get. And that's not enough. And they're going to have any oversight over a private school? See, they don't like private schools. They never have. This seems to me like a gift to the school unions. And that's what it is. And I'm with the private schools on this one. Where are you? Because this is under Are You Kidding? We'd like to hear it on News Radio 930 WBN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
here, back with Sandy Beach and Beach and Company, and the meaty part of this story by Jay Ray. It says education policymakers in Albany are proposing that local districts conduct a more thorough review of the curricula at independent schools to ensure that their academic instruction is, quote, substantially equivalent, close quote, to that of public schools. You're kidding me. You're joking, of course. Albany is so pathetic, they have to be joking, that they want the oversight of the private schools to be done by, to have a bigger part with public schools. Public schools will see, make sure the private schools are doing a good job. What a joke. Why do you think they do everything possible to stop you from going to private schools? Is because people know that if they have a choice, that's what they will choose. I'll give you an example. It's not always cheap. I pay $12,000 to send my six-year-old to a private school because I don't want the brainwashing that public schools give. The public schools get to say what's being taught, and I guess I'll have to quit my job and just homeschool. So that's pretty sad, actually. Let's go to my friend Don in Pennsylvania. Don, you're on WBEN.
Good morning, Sandy, and good morning, Tony. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing fine, Mr. Don. What do you think of these two things? Should kids have access to cell phones in class, in school? And are you kidding that the public schools should use more oversight to the private schools?
I agree with you guys about the cell phones. They should maybe be dropped into some box as they enter each classroom and then pick them up when the class is done. They should not be in their possession during the class time.
You know, a good way to make them feel good about it, I don't know if they make one of these yet. I have one in my car. It's a charging pad. You just lay the phone right on it, and you don't plug anything in or anything, and the phone charges. Now, it has to be a certain level phone in order to do that, but I wonder if they make a commercial grade where they just put the phones in the box and they get to be charged during classes.
That's a good question.
Make a good thing to buy or into invent or manufacture, too.
Right. But in regards to the second question,
yeah,
our tax money that funds the public schools is also used to fund the charter schools, at least they are here.
Yeah, students take a percentage of the money they would have gotten in a public school and take it with them to the private school. But the public school then has one less chair to educate, and they still get a third of the money. I think it's one-third.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's a formula here. My understanding here is that if it costs $15,000 per student per year in a public school to be educated, for every student that goes to a charter school here, the charter school receives $15,000, and their costs are substantially lower than this public school because there's a big disparity between the teachers' pays between the.
Yeah, that's why the teachers' unions are always vehemently against charter schools.
Absolutely, and I don't want any public educators having anything to say about what is being taught and how it's being taught in a charter school because it's government indoctrination in public schools, and I don't I wouldn't want that if my kid went to a charter school. I wouldn't want any. That's why they go there. Part of the reason is to avoid that indoctrination crap.
Well, that's a good point. If you think about it, if this goes through in Albany, what they're doing is essentially sending a government agent who is one of the public school overseers into the charter school to see what they're doing, make sure they're not doing certain things, see what they are doing. That sounds like not a recipe for success. That sounds like that's doomed.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But, I mean, it does work both ways because here the people who run or own these charter schools, it's actually a profit-making situation.
As far as I'm concerned, everything's a profit-making operation, even if it's called public. It costs us an enormously large amount to educate our children. It could be much more efficiently done with more realistic numbers like the private schools do for their teachers. And they get good quality education. And I think this is just a handoff to the public school teachers' unions.
That's exactly what it is, because they, at least here and probably where you are, they have all the power.
Yeah, they certainly do, and they have all of the ears of those legislators in Albany. Hey, Don, thanks for calling. Good to talk to you, my friend.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend, being as today is your Friday.
Yes, it is. Do you ever believe it, that I could be doing a four-day week? I never could believe it.
Well, good luck to you, and I'm glad you were in that situation.
That's good. So am I. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm off on Fridays now. I know it's cruel and hard. I wake up in the morning only wishing I could come into work. No, I do enjoy my job. Make no mistake about that, or I'd just be gone. I wouldn't do something I didn't enjoy. But except for my honeymoon. The bottom line, though, is that there's something special about it. Waking up and on a day you'd normally work and not have to.
You're really going to enjoy that in the winter when it's when the conditions aren't so pleasant.
Yes, I'm praying that if there's any storms, they're on Friday, you know?
We'll schedule all storms.
Yeah, okay, because you guys can do a really good job on Friday. And you know what I'm going to do, Tony?
Have coffee.
Have a cup of coffee and sit in front of the window and watch it. I'm going to do what you used to do before you got married.
It's a good time.
How good is that? We're back after this. Two questions. Should kids have access to their cell phones in class in school? My answer is no. They can have them, but they should be in a locked box, put there in the morning and picked up on the way home. And are you kidding? The state is actually coming up with suggestions that the state schools should have some oversight, some more oversight over the curricula of the private schools, because they want to make sure that this is bad enough. But this second paragraph, education policymakers in Albany are proposing that local districts conduct a more thorough review of their curricula in independent schools to ensure that their academic instruction is substantially equivalent to that of public schools. I think that the private school would have to lower their standards to be equivalent to the public schools. That might be a catch. You know what I'm talking about. Dan Nevereth is online, too. Hello, Dan, my friend.
I am so impressed. I can't believe it, Sandy, because I always thought of you as not being too bright. But anyway, you're using words like curricula.
Curricular. That's something you get if you don't eat a diet properly. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I am impressed. Okay. Here's what I think about the schools, okay? Let's compare Nichols and Park School and some of the other private schools. Let's see how many of their students end up in Harvard and all the big name colleges. And I compare that to the public schools.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, just do that. That's you're right.
Public schools do their job, and private schools do their job, and you can get an education in either one.
Right, exactly. But
now your kids went to St. Francis. That's because you were rich. Did you get your money's worth in that?
Yes, you know, because fortunately, when it wasn't $15,000 a year, okay. Another thing.
Yeah.
Two of my boys went to the University of Dayton, okay?
That's right. One of them played football for Dayton.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you realize what it costs now to go to college. You know how much it costs me? $3,500 a year.
To go to the college? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, and that was just one record hop.
Yeah. I know you were doing a lot of record hops when they were in a private school.
Yes. Now, about the phones, okay?
Yes. What about the phones? Do you think they should be able to have them operational?
Yes, because when you're having a test, if you can't Google the answers, what good is it?
Yeah, if you can't cheat, what's the sense in paying for a phone? I hear you loud and clear, and I mean, you've managed to achieve a great deal of success with that attitude.
Yes.
Are you looking forward for our trip to Norway and Barcelona and England?
Oh, man, I am so excited about that. That's going to be a great trip.
It really will be, and it's only like 5 weeks away, so I'm looking forward to it. Good to talk to you, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Wait a minute. Are you going on that trip?
Yes, I am.
Oh, is there any way I can cancel?
No, it's too late. It's too late to cancel for.
See you later. Have a great trip.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you very much, goofball. But my friend, the goofball, Dan Nevereth. Yeah, I assume that if you're a member of a faculty or you're running a private school, you take great pride in your academic achievements. And the last thing you need is the public school to be overseeing your curricula to make sure it meets the standards. I'm telling you, it'd be very interesting if somebody has a burr up their saddle and they're a lawyer to challenge the definition here where it says to ensure that their academic instruction is, here it is, substantially equivalent, close quote, to that of public schools. Well, that would mean if you can show that the private schools are higher, then you'd have to show that the public schools were lower and they'd be subject to more advanced curriculum detective work to see what they're teaching. And I just find this obnoxiously arrogant because it's so obviously something the hand of the public teachers union. So maybe more people won't go to private schools. I mean, come on, you got to be better than that. If you're going to compete, get in the arena and compete. All right, don't try and take your neighbor down because they're doing better than you and you want to bring them to your lower level. Makes no sense at all to me. Let's go to Bill in Williamsville. Bill, you're on WBEN.
Sandy, always a pleasure to talk to the hottest talk in radio.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very nice. That's why we put you on.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely not as far as phones. We're just these children, and I'm going to say children because they're not of voting age until they're 18 and this and that, whatever. The fact is they are – it's a sad scenario that we're looking at with everything with these children through the public school, not only New York State, which is absolutely one of the worst. I know that's one of your pet peeves like it is mine. $1 billion plus, ridiculous.
Yep.
The fact is phones in school, no. Emergency, no. This and that, my child's independent. No. They're there to learn. So that's, I'm just going to say that quick. No on the phone.
Well, do you feel you should say no on that? I was unclear. No. Okay, we got it.
Yeah, if I misspoke, I apologize. that's my lousy upbringing with an educated family.
Quickly, Rush is going. What about the schools having oversight from public schools, the private schools?
There's less.
Yeah. Oops, his phone. His phone was dropping out, so we had to say goodbye to him. All right, Rush Limbaugh's next. I'm sure he's has some fine upgraded schooling. We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.